This is Chris McGregor with information on how you can help Discerning Hearts continue our mission during our summer appeal. No doubt this has been a very challenging year, but because of the generosity of so many of our donors, it's also been a year of blessing. But to make it to the end of the year, we do need your help. We are funded 100% by those touched by the work of Discerning Hearts. So between now and August 22nd, if you can help with a donation or with your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate by clicking on the link found on the discerninghearts.com website or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you, and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts. DiscerningHearts.com presents a special seminar retreat entitled Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He has dedicated many years to an extensive international ministry of retreats, spiritual direction, and teaching about the spiritual life. He has written 8 books on Ignatian discernment and prayer, and a biography of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, and a book on the Liturgy of the Hours. He currently holds the St. Ignatius Chair for Spiritual Formation at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver, Colorado. This particular retreat is based on the book Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, as well as Begin Again, The Life and Spiritual Legacy of Bruno Lanteri, and Spiritual Counsels for the Life of the World, from the teachings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. We now present Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement with Father Timothy Gallagher.
So I'd like to just pick up where we were and continue. As you see from the screen, this is the program of formal times of prayer that Venerable Bruno is proposing to Gabriella. And with our appropriate changes, I'd say to all of us, these 4 practices, which, as so many have commented, they're doable. We can do that. And it makes an enormous difference. But what about the rest of the day outside of these times of formal prayer? Obviously, that's very important for the spiritual life as well. And so Venerable Bruno goes on to say to her, if you pick up with the letter, do not forget to raise your heart frequently, but gently and with peace to God. All right, do not forget to raise your heart frequently, but gently and with peace to God. This is the rest of the day. And I think people who love the Lord, we all feel that we are aware of the Lord in the formal times of prayer, but something in our heart longs to be more aware of, more in communion, consciously in communion with the Lord throughout the entirety of the day. Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection famously spoke of this as the practice of the presence of God, living the entire day with Jesus. Is that possible? And it is. And you've already noticed, I'm sure, in Venerable Bruno, that he's very concrete and very practical. He never simply says, for example, the Eucharist is important, or try to meditate, or spiritual reading is helpful, but he gets very concrete and very practical. In this case, he's speaking to a very busy woman, and so he knows how to shape these practices in a way that, as we've said, is doable for these people. And the same thing is true of this longing in our hearts. Oh God, you are my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting. And that's deep in the hearts of all of us, that restlessness that St. Augustine spoke about, that only finds rest in God. And so, being very concrete, in her busy life, he says to her, just lift your heart often throughout the day, but do this gently and with peace to God. I remember hearing from a priest of a conversation he had with the abbot of a monastery. And he was newly appointed to this monastery. And he gathered the monks together when he was installed. And he said, I'd like to ask all of you 7 times a day for 1 minute. And this is outside of the formal times of prayer. 7 times a day for 1 minute, just to stop and lift your heart in praise and adoration to God. And the abbot said that by the end of a year, they were all contemplatives. Raise your heart frequently, but gently and with peace to God. Now, note these two words, gently and with peace. This is something that is also deep in the spiritual direction of Venerable Bruno. Gently, with peace. If you look at Galatians 5:25, you'll see that these two words are listed among the fruits of the Spirit. They are signs of God's Holy Spirit in people that love the Lord and are seeking God. So, if I may say this reverently, but this is very important for all of the spiritual life. If ever you find yourself white-knuckling it in the spiritual life, if I make that last bit of exhausted effort, squeeze out that last bit of exhausted energy, I can add this in my spiritual life, or I can take on that. Or with a sinking heart, you undertake something that you know will be sustainable only when everything goes smoothly, and you know things are not always going to go smoothly. Just know that the Lord is never asking that of us. There are times of suffering and so forth, those things come. But in terms of living the daily spiritual life and the practices that we adopt and the way we try to love and serve the Lord, hear these two words from Venerable Bruno. Lift your heart frequently to God, but do it gently and with peace. Gently and with peace. So, if any of us contemplates or is undertaking practices in the spiritual life that lead to this kind of exhaustion, this is a wonderful thing. I can do it if I get up an hour earlier in the morning, but you know you can't sustain that. You're going to get exhausted, so forth. Just know that the Lord is not asking that of you. This theme of gentleness and peace runs through everything that Venerable Bruno will say in his message of spiritual guidance. Finally, it comes down to Matthew 11, those lovely verses at the end of that chapter. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. That's the Jesus, that's the God whom we serve. So raise your heart frequently, but gently and with peace to God. Can we try that? What will happen if we do that? He goes on. This is another classic piece in the spiritual life, which a Venerable Bruno will apply now to this particular woman. So do not forget to make acts of mortification, especially interior ones. Now note this. This is also classic, if you look at the classic treatises of the spiritual life, that there are two forms of mortification, interior and exterior. Mortification, as the word signifies, is a dying to something which creates freedom. It's kind of like Jesus' own death leading to new life on Easter Sunday. And so we say no to certain things for the sake of the bigger yes that permits. The greater space in our hearts for God, the greater time, the greater energy to love and serve the Lord. Now, we tend to think of mortification appropriately as exterior mortification. That's what we think of, for example, in the time of Lent, when we give up this or don't have that and so forth. But there is also a mortification on the interior level, on the level of the heart. And this is what Venerable Bruno is suggesting, proposing to a woman whose energies are already taxed, probably about as far as they can be taxed with her daily life. So he says to her, do not forget to make acts of mortification, especially interior ones. So for her, he wants the focus to be on the heart. And then he specifies, for you, capable, strong, leader, can tend to be a little cold, impatient, severe, with a great heart, but with these tendencies. For you, this means the effort to live each moment with a gentle and joyful spirit. A religious once told me that the other members of his religious community noticed that whenever he came back from spiritual direction, he always seemed to have more peace. There's a kind of tranquility and peace in him. And he said that when they found that he'd start to get irritated or bothered by things, somebody would say to him sooner or later, you know, isn't it time for you to go to spiritual direction? And I suspect that Gabriella's family must have felt something of the same when those occasional times that he would meet for spiritual direction, more often through the letters, that they would see in her the renewed effort to do exactly what he's suggesting here, to live with a gentle and joyful spirit, and the beauty of what that would then spread throughout the household and the family. Now, this next is said as strongly as he can say it. Look at the strength of the language. For the love of God, which is the strongest motivation he knows, I beg of you, so this is from the heart, deep, this is important, don't just go by this. For the love of God, I beg of you what? To wage continual warfare against negative moods. Don't ever just give in to the discouragement or the heaviness or the sense that I was impatient again and so on. And don't ever just give in to that. Wage continual war. This is a war that we should wage. This is a salutary war. This is a healing war. Wage continual warfare against negative moods and never fail to begin again. Never fail to begin again. It didn't take Venerable Bruno very long in this letter to return to this language of beginning and to use this phrase, beginning again, which is so central in his teaching and message that actually when I wrote the biography of Venerable Bruno, we used this as a title, Begin Again. Never fail to begin again. People love this teaching. I remember once being at a large function in a church, and there were a good number of priests celebrating. And before the function began, as we were talking, I met a young priest ordained just a few years, and he knew me, and he asked what I was writing. And it was the time when I was writing this book, Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement. And he said to me, he lit up, and he said, Nunc Chaepi, which is the Latin, I think I've given that to you here. That's the Latin phrase, Nunc Chaepi. And I kind of did a small double take and said, well, how did you know that? He said, well, I made a retreat at your Oblate retreat house, and everywhere on the walls, there were sayings of Venerable Bruno, framed and posted on the walls. And I kept seeing these words, Nunc Chaepi, begin again. And it was a very warm part of the retreat that he took with him and never forgot. Never fail to begin again. Now, what that means is this, that there is nowhere you can ever have been in your spiritual life, no matter how far from God, nothing you can ever have done, no matter how serious, no matter the consequences, there is nothing you can ever have done, nowhere you can ever have been in the past or present that can ever stop you right now from turning to God. And if we need it, asking for a forgiveness that he thrills with joy to give. Look at the parables in Luke 15, above all the prodigal son. First halting steps and the father runs to him in the embrace and the celebration. There is never anything that can stop us from turning to God right now. If we need it, asking a forgiveness he is eager to give, and then beginning again. I have seen this teaching give hope to so many people, because sometimes you and I feel in life as though unhappily we have to settle for less. You wanted me to be here in my life, Lord, but this is where I really am. And it's my fault, and I've made choices, and I've done things, and I have left other things undone. And the answer to it all is in these two words, begin again. Never fail to begin again. And you can. There is never, ever anything stopping us from doing that. What's coming to my mind as I'm saying this was a Sunday morning when I was about in a few more minutes to head off, get out in the car and go off to the parish where I would be spending the day celebrating Mass and being with the people, looking forward to it. And this was my quiet time of prayer in the small chapel that we had in our community. and can still see it. The autumn gray sky outside, fairly early morning hour. And finishing my time of prayer, but as I was about to finish, becoming aware that there was a burden on my heart. And a little bit of reflection showed me what it was. I had an opportunity to help someone, to reach out to someone the preceding day, and I had not availed myself of the opportunity. Didn't stop me from going on with things, certainly wouldn't stop me from being blessed by being with the parishioners in the course of the day. But there was a little film of grayness in my heart. Reverently, we all feel this at times. And because this was the time when I was actually writing the biography of Venerable Bruno, suddenly there came to my consciousness the sense that this is exactly the situation in which Venerable Bruno is speaking about his teaching, Never Fail to Begin Again. When we feel as though people who love the Lord, who feel as though we have failed the Lord in some way, we have a choice. We can either just go on with that little bit of grayness, or we can move past it by simply turning to the Lord, opening up to him this space in our hearts, asking for a forgiveness, as I say, that he loves to give, and then beginning again. And what I still remember is the way my heart lifted. Yes, Lord, maybe I missed that opportunity, but you have many ways of opening that and other opportunities and even more for me again. It's not too late. Nothing's over. No door is closed. All I have to do is begin again. And the grayness dissipated. This is what Venerable Bruno is encouraging Gabriella to do in her daily life. All right, you were impatient again. You were severe. You missed this child's need for your affection or that person's need for your helping hand. You can either just live with the grayness or you can begin again. And this is his warm encouragement. Never fail to begin again. Please take that teaching deeply to heart, because those two words and that teaching, never fail to begin again, will overcome so much spiritual discouragement in our lives. These two words, Nunc Chaepi, actually come from the Latin translation of Psalm 77, verse 10, if I remember correctly. And Venerable Bruno, as everyone did in his time, used the Latin Vulgate, the Latin version of the scriptures, and so he knew the psalm in the Latin. Today, the translations are done from the original Hebrew, and so there the nuances are different. But if you look at Psalm 77, you can see what he found there. The person praying begins in a time of deep discouragement, and the discouragement just seems to get deeper and deeper. And then suddenly, as it were, out of nowhere, there's a whole new reversal and a burst of new energy and hope and trust in the Lord. And these words, Nunc Chaepi, or then I said, now I begin, that's the pivotal point. And that's the invitation in our spiritual lives. Okay, kind of almost in that Thomistic way, Venerable Bruno now anticipates and answers another objection, which might be there in the hearts of some of us listening right now. Venerable Bruno, this whole program of spiritual life is beautiful, and I can see how helpful it would be. And I know people that live like that, but I'm not like that. I'm not a saint. I'm not holy. I'm really human. I fail the Lord in many ways, and I just keep doing it. This is a beautiful image of the spiritual life, but it's for other people closer to God than me. So that's what Venerable Bruno is addressing here now. And so he says to her, do not wait. And I've highlighted those three words because there's the message again. If you sense God calling you to take this step, to let that go, to move forward in this or that way, begin. And when? Immediately. Do not wait. Do not wait. Pursue the grace. Follow where the Lord is leading. Do not wait until you have devotion to begin these things. Begin, and it just repeats this word over and over again. Begin even without devotion, since that will come with time. And this is precisely the means to attain it. Devotion must be the fruit and not the cause of the practices I have recommended. So if anyone feels that this is beautiful, but it's beyond me, devotion here could be holiness warmth of heart, a sense of consolation in God's closeness. And a person says, I just don't feel an awful lot of that. And Venerable Bruno, with reverence, but with great encouragement, says, there's no problem in that. Of course you don't. Because that kind of devotion, that kind of holiness, that sense of God's love and closeness does not precede these practices, but it's the fruit of these practices. It's not the cause of these practices. We don't do these practices because we experience the Lord in this way. We do these practices because when we live this kind of life of prayer, when heart is speaking to heart daily in this way, then all of this is going to happen and follow in our lives. For the rest, he says, you know that true devotion, now devotion there he's using in the sense of St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life. Today we'd probably speak of holiness or closeness to God or something like that. For the rest, you know that true devotion consists in readiness to be faithful to the Lord. That's what he's asking, be faithful and not in sentiment. I hope that you will soon send me consoling news in this regard, as she writes in response to his letter. So I want to pull together the approach that Venerable Bruno is taking throughout this letter. Choose solid spiritual practices, deeply rooted in our Catholic Christian spiritual tradition. So you're on very solid spiritual ground. As you see, he does this beginning with the Eucharist meditation and so forth. Choose a sustainable amount of time for them. And this is going to be different for every one of us. It's a very different thing if a person, a mother is raising three young children, and we have a person whose children have all left home. Or a person who is in a very pressured situation at work, or a person where that pressure is less. Or a person who is dealing with significant issues of health, and another who has fewer or no significant issues of that kind, and so on. So in accordance with our individual circumstances, once you've chosen solid spiritual practices, choose a sustainable amount of time for each of them. For the Eucharist, as often as you can, 15 minutes, whatever. If you're in doubt about what is a sustainable amount of time, then my counsel is to choose less rather than more. If you say, well, I think I could do half an hour, but I'm not quite sure I'm going to be able to sustain that, then choose 15 minutes, and I'll adapt that to our individual circumstances. In doubt, choose a little less rather than a little more, because you can always add more with time as the Spirit leads you. So choose a sustainable amount of time, and then you've already seen Venerable Bruno say this several times in the short letter, then be faithful. Be consistently faithful. And you can be consistently faithful because what you're doing is solid and you have chosen a sustainable amount of time for it. All right, but what if it fails? What if I just don't do it? If I just kind of get all of this wrong, you know, for a day or several days, you can almost say tell me what Bruno, Venerable Bruno, is going to say at this point. If you fail, begin again. Now, there's one point we may get to later on when Venerable Bruno invites a woman who is discouraged to begin not only every day, but even every hour of the day. And in one sharing in one retreat, one of the participants said, you know, I used to think that if I get toward the latter part of the day and spiritually things didn't go well, then what I needed to say to the Lord was, Lord, today didn't go well, but tomorrow's another day. She said, now I realize I don't have to wait till tomorrow. I can begin again right now. And you can. If you fail, then just begin again. And do it all gently and with peace. That's a very rich, fruitful, and sustainable program of spiritual life. I'm going to leave it there just for a brief moment. I'm going to be silent. And I'd invite us all just to look through that and absorb Venerable Bruno's approach to the spiritual life, and do it all gently and with peace. And now he moves toward the conclusion of the letter. Imagine saying all that in a letter of spiritual direction, what it must have meant to meet with him in person. And he heard hours hours and hours and hours with people in conversations. There is a something you read in the life of St. John Bosco, who was actually part of the same circle of sanctity, also in Turin, and not many years later, and actually formed out of the spiritual program that Venerable Bruno created for young priests. And an eyewitness was watching as St. John Bosco was receiving people one by one. He was sitting in the waiting room outside the room where St. John Bosco was speaking with people. And he looked at the faces of the people in this room around him, and they were drawn and tired and burdened and suffering. And then he would look at the face of each person as he or she came out of the room, and he'd see the lightness there, the peace, the sense of hope. I think people who approached Venerable Bruno had that exact same experience over and over and over again. All right, so he concludes now. I ask you to give my greetings to Father Cesare, so we don't know who this priest was, and to tell him that I would be happy to see him here. Venerable Bruno worked with many, many priests, especially young priests, but many priests, to help them become saintly and holy men. And tell him I would be happy to see him here if Father Cesare were to come to Turin. And I always hope to be able one day to visit with him there. You get a sense, as I say, as you go through these letters, that his visits actually to in person were probably not that frequent. For the present, tell Father Ferrero, so this priest who is now in the area, that even though I have not yet had the joy of meeting him, I ask him to give you no rest in committing yourself to practicing all that I have just recommended to you and to hold you strictly to account. So what you see there is a Venerable Bruno is gentle. Everything he proposes is doable, but he's not lowering standards. Once you have solid and sustainable practices, then he will over and over again invite us to be faithful, consistently faithful, with what elsewhere he'll call a holy tenacity in these spiritual practices. And I will be grateful to him for this. I bless you together with all your family. I recommend myself to your prayers, and I am with the highest esteem and respect, your servant in and Father in Jesus Christ, Father Lanteri. Let's move to a second letter, and this is a little over a year later. And the occasion here is that Gabriella's son Clemente, who is 16 years old at this time and is studying in Turin, is leaving Turin to make the trip home. And Venerable Bruno just takes the opportunity to jot a note of spiritual direction for his mother, Gabriella. So in this case, differently than with the earlier letter, he is not replying to a letter that she has sent him, but he is simply taking the opportunity to send a brief note to her. And he writes as follows, Madame, I would like to use this opportunity of the departure from Turin of Monsieur, your son, that's Clemente, for some profit, but I do not know of what I should speak. So he hasn't heard from her in the short term, and he's not exactly sure how things are going spiritually. Should I praise you for your fidelity? There again, that fidelity to God, ought I chide you? I do not know at all. So I will take a sure course. So what he's going to do then, since he doesn't know her experience, he's just going to focus on solid and sure things. And I'd say already at this point, you can almost predict what he's going to say to her. I will take a sure course, and that is to counsel you to begin each day. To begin each day. I've noticed over the years, as you look at the writings of the saints, St. Ignatius of Antioch, for example, this 73-year-old man at this point, bishop, venerable in holiness, elderly, certainly in his time, and on his way to a heroic martyrdom. And in his letter to the Ephesians, so he's in chains, being taken by the soldiers to Rome, where he'll be brought into the Colosseum and put to death. And he writes to the Ephesians and says, I am beginning now to be a disciple. And if you look at the early biographies of Francis of Assisi, you see the same thing. He's in his final illness, And from his sickbed, he turns to the Franciscan brothers around him, and he says, "Let us begin, brothers, to serve the Lord, for until now we have made little progress. Let us begin." It's a beautiful way to live the spiritual life. I remember a conversation with a wonderful woman religious, now quite elderly, with a beautiful spiritual life, quite ill. And she was in her mid-60s at the time, long and faithful religious life. And she just smiled and said, "Imagine, I'm just now beginning to understand the vows." That is the basic commitment of her life, her vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, belonging to God in that way. And I came out of her office after she said that, thinking, that's the way I want to live. It's not old. It's not over. It's young. It's fresh. It's new. It's every beginning every day. Just now beginning to discover new depths in my marriage, for example, if I'm called to that, or my involvement in the church, or the ways in which I can love other people and bring them closer to God, or be a better parent or a better son or daughter, whatever it might be. I am just now beginning. That's what he's counseling to Gabriella. And it's the first thing that he counsels, which is striking. Live this way. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to live. You will never grow spiritually old. One more thing is coming to mind. I was living in Boston at the time, and I can't remember the exact year, but Mother Teresa, now St. Teresa of Calcutta, came to visit. And she made a stop first in New Bedford, just south of Boston. And the mayor of the city was interviewed. And the mayor said, after having met Mother Teresa, "She is the youngest 83-year-old I have ever met." That's the way we want to be in the spiritual life. And that's what he's encouraging us. Again, discouragement dissipates and disappears when we live as freshly beginning, with new vistas always opening up before us in the spiritual life. So I'll take a sure course and counsel you to begin each day abandoning the past to the Lord's mercy and the future to his divine providence. Abandoning the past to the Lord's mercy. Now, this is another deep thing, and so I don't want to go by this too quickly. With great reverence, is there anyone, or many of us perhaps, that lives his or her spiritual life very faithfully? You love the Lord. You live a life of prayer in the church and the sacraments. You try to respond to the Lord in the vocation that he's called you to, in marriage, the single condition, priesthood, religious life, whatever. But there's a burden. It doesn't stop you, but it weighs. Earlier in my life, I was in this situation. Earlier in my life, I did that. Earlier in my life, I didn't measure up to this. And we carry that with us. And what Venerable Bruno is saying to Gabriella, and I would say to all of us, what Gabriella is saying to Gabriella, and I would say to all of us, is don't carry that. Abandon. That's a beautiful word in the spiritual life. It's the word St. Therese uses when she speaks of abandonment or surrendering to the Lord. Abandon the past to what? To the Lord's mercy, which is the best place you can ever lead it. Leave it. You don't need to carry it. God doesn't want the exhaustion and the burden and the grayness that our hearts feel at times as we look at our past. Let it go. In the life of the saintly Curie of Ars, St. John Vianney, this is an image, this a slide of his church. You can see that where the altar used to be, there's been a perforation there, and then a larger, almost small basilica style addition added because of so many pilgrims who come to this church. But in his time, the church ended where that open portal is. And the Curie of Ars, as it got so literally hundreds of thousands of people were coming to meet with him, and especially to go to confession to him. Sometimes they would wait in line for up to 3 days at a time. He would rise very early in the morning and would go into the confessional, spend many hours there, come out for Mass, go back into the confessional. And then around 11 o'clock in the late morning, he would come out of the confessional a second time, and go up to the pulpit that you see there in the screen. And the church would be packed with pilgrims and parishioners. And he would give these simple catechetical talks that the people loved. And he no longer had time to prepare them. So he would just get up there and just speak as anything came from his heart. And in one of these talks, he said the following: "Our sins are as grains of sand." Depending on how you're viewing this, you'll see the finger there enlarged many times, and there's a single grain of sand on the placed above that on that finger. "Our sins are as grains of sand compared with the mountain of the mercy of God. Our sins are as grains of sand compared with the mountain of the mercy of God." This is what Pope Francis has repeatedly shared with the church, just a very rich understanding of the mercy of God. "Our sins are as grains of sand compared with the mountain of the mercy of God." Now, I want to play just a 3-minute clip from the movie The Mission, where this is shown, I think, in one of the most powerful ways in any film setting that I've ever seen. And if you know the story of The Mission, I think that came out in the 1980s at some point. The man who is shown here has lived a pretty bad life. He's been a slave trader. He's been responsible for a lot of cruelty and suffering. And then finally, he has murdered his own brother. And now his heart is pierced with repentance. And he is on his way to join the Jesuit mission and try to live a new life. But what he's done is he has gathered together his sword and his armor, all the instruments of the past life, which was so far from God that he's lived, has wrapped them in a net, tied them with a rope, and he is carrying that burden behind him. In a sense, symbolically, he's carrying his whole past with him as he goes up the slope that will lead him to the place where the mission is located. "Our sins are as grains of sand compared with the mountain of the mercy of God. Don't carry it. Let it go. And not just anywhere, but abandon it to the Lord's mercy, to that space of God's understanding and reverence and healing and love that is far greater than we can ever understand." So this is what Venerable Bruno is saying to Gabriella. Don't live with your heart burdened that way. Let it all go. Abandon all of that to the Lord's mercy. And then he says, "And abandon the future to his divine providence." How real that is for us today, with so much that is uncertain, and so many struggles, and so much of a lack of clarity about what lies ahead. And this too can weigh very heavily on our hearts. And so he says to her, "The future too, abandon that to the Lord's divine providence, where we're loved. He leadeth me," you know, from the words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If we can do that, and I know this is big in the spiritual life, if we can abandon the past to the Lord's mercy and leave the future to his divine providence, what that does is it releases wonderful energy to live today, which is what the Lord has given us and where the Lord is calling us to love and to serve him. I think about that at times because at times I'm in situations too where I don't see what lies ahead. And just to remember this, just to abandon it to the Lord's mercy, to the Lord's providence in terms of the future, it does help. You begin to feel a certain lifting of heart that we're not alone, that there is somebody who is Emmanuel, God with us always. All right, so if you leave the past to the Lord's mercy and the future to his divine providence, what about today? In the meantime, reflect each day. So this is something to think about every day. Reflect each day that you are entrusted with a mission by the good God. Reflect each day that you are entrusted with a mission by the good God. This is something very important as well for every one of us in our different vocations. You are entrusted with a mission by the good God. Venerable Bruno, on this occasion, actually did meet in person with Gabriella. And after his death years later, when the Oblate community was gathering information to put together his biography and in view of his cause of canonization, they wrote to Gabriella's daughter-in-law and asked her if she had any of the letters that Venerable Bruno, if she had kept these letters Venerable Bruno had written to her. And Gabriella's daughter-in-law went through her papers and found three of her letters. We're looking at the second one. But she also found this little slip of paper on which he had written the following. So this is a counsel from Venerable Bruno. To carry out every occupation and temporal matter, so shopping, mowing the lawn, taking care of the property, taking the car to the shop, dealing with things at work, all the thousand things, answering emails and so on, all of the thousand things that are part of a day, to carry out every occupation and temporal matter that may arise as if fulfilling a task given me by God. There's the mission. And to consider that the entire day is a mission given to me by God. It's the same teaching. Reflect every day that you are entrusted with a mission by the good God. Now, I want to give a few lines here from a famous and often quoted passage from now St. John Henry Newman. This is from a meditation on the fact that we are God's creation as a source of hope in our lives. And the famous words are these. God, so he's speaking in the person of the one reading this. So each one of us can say these words personally. God has created me to do him some definite service. Please just see that first sentence. If we are in the world, each one of us, in this place, at this time, with this health, with these people, from this family, in this situation at work or in the church, we are there because God has created us to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me, which he has not committed to another. So God brought each one of us into the world to do something that no one else can do, no one else will do. We are the only one who can do this. So for example, when the angel comes to Mary at the Annunciation and asks her to be the mother of God, there was no other Mary. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. And I love these last four words. I have my mission. Every one of us does. That means something powerful. It means that God has brought you and me into the world right now in these circumstances because he has a specific mission that he wants us to fulfill. Just as the Father had a specific mission for Jesus when he came into the world. These are words that John Paul II repeated often in speaking of each human being, that each one of us is unique. There never was and never will be another you, and unrepeatable. Unique and unrepeatable. And this is a deep source of the dignity that we have because we have been brought into the world, each one of us, to fulfill a mission that no one else can do, that God has not given to anyone else. That's why every human being is so important. As I say, when the angel comes to Mary, there's no other Mary. You remember that famous homily of St. Bernard, and he speaks of the pause after the angel has finished speaking and awaits Mary's answer. He says, the whole world is waiting with the angel. Mary, say yes. The salvation of the world depends upon it. There was no other Mary waiting in the wings. God has created me to do him some definite service. There was no other Francis of Assisi when grace touched his heart and led him to begin that lifestyle that has so blessed the world. These are the parents of St. Therese of the Child Jesus, now canonized, Saints Zélie and Louis Martin. They were the only parents who were given the mission of being the mother of this daughter. And now a second daughter whose cause of canonization has also been begun, Léonie. And look at the grace that has come into the world because they said yes to that mission. They are the parents of the one that St. Pius X called the greatest saint of modern times. Put your photo in that framework, in that frame. Because you too, every one of us, we have been given a specific mission. It's not just these, but it's every one of us has been given a specific mission by the Lord. And this is what Venerable Bruno is asking Gabriella to think of and call to mind every day as she goes about the busyness of her life. I have my mission. It's a very beautiful way to live. We know why we're in the world. We know what we're called to do. We know the difference that our life makes. And we know the ultimate communion with the Lord to which it leads. In different language, Pope Francis has spoken, oh gosh, give me just a couple minutes and then we'll move toward a break. It's my fault really for having delayed getting started, figuring out the technology here, but just a couple more minutes. And what he called this document, this apostolic exhortation, rejoice and be glad on the call to holiness in today's world, and specifically here in paragraph 7. He speaks of holiness. This is the kind of holiness that we're all called to. Holiness in those parents who raise their children with immense love. Do that. You're fulfilling your mission. I mentioned my parents. I will be eternally grateful to them for the way they raised us with love. In those, holiness in those men and women who work hard to support their families, the tiredness, the daily routine, and they do it out of love for their families. Holiness. Holiness in the sick who live with physical limitations day by day and pain. Holiness in elderly religious who never lose their smile. There's something beautiful in elderly people who meet you with that kind of smile. We love people like that. They're holy. They're holy. Very often, he says, it is a holiness found in next door neighbors. Again, we meet wonderful people like this. In the most unexpected places, but there's a warmth and a goodness and a love and a willingness to help there. Holiness. Those who living in our midst make present God's presence for us. And then he says, gives a title to this kind of holiness. We might call them the middle class of holiness, and we're all called to that. I guess I'll conclude with this. I had just finished celebrating a funeral, and was standing outside the church talking with people after the funeral was finished. And the church had been full. This was a woman who was a mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and all the generations were there. She was much loved. And in the course of the Mass, enough had been said about her life so that others had realized the kind of person this was. Very, very faithful disciple of Jesus, faithful in prayer. And I was speaking with a man, and he, as he learned more about her life, he said this, words I've never forgotten. This is one more of those saints who will not be canonized. And he's probably right. That woman probably won't be canonized, but she's a saint. She's living that middle-class holiness the Pope speaks about. She's lived day by day with a clear sense of the mission to which God called her, and she fulfilled it through the years of her life. And she was a saint. She became holy. And that's what Gabriella is inviting her to be, Gabriella, to think of each day.
You've been participating in Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download the audio portion of this particular conference, go to discerninghearts.com or its various streaming platforms. To view other conferences in this particular retreat, visit discerninghearts.com or the Discerning Hearts YouTube channel. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts and to help us continue to offer unique spiritual programming like what you've just experienced. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time. God bless.